views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hi everyone, I am Dr. Kelly and you're listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience inspiration, creativity, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, authors, healers, and speakers helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. And you can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all of my show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. So it is the holidays, and you know, the holidays can be stressful and intense times for all of us. They can be wonderful, but they can be quite emotional. And I'm not just referring to the traffic and the shopping and the intensity of workplace dinners and family dinners, but also the emotional toll that it takes on us when we're missing the people that we love who are no longer with us, whether it is our pets or humans or family or friends or anyone that we've lost. This show is really about helping people learn tips to handle that holiday stress when they've lost their pets and their loved ones. And this is very near and very dear to me. I have lost two of my beloved pets in the last 4 months. My kitty was really tragically had to be put down over the weekend. So this is very fresh for me and very serendipitous, to the point where I almost canceled today's show, but I realized that this is incredibly kind of important healing information, and so many Americans, people around the world will go through this. And so today I'm really grateful to welcome one of the country's most foremost experts on grieving, Russell Friedman. He's the co-author of the Grief Recovery Handbook, and more recently, the Handbook for Pet Loss, along with co-author John. Russell has pioneered more than 2,500 grief recovery outreach programs throughout the world. Today we will talk about grief myths, so like no time does not heal all wounds, as well as what to say and what not to say to someone who's grieving, and the differences between pet loss and human loss, and more. So if you're missing out on your loved ones this holiday season, I'm just hoping that this show can bring you some peace of mind. And if you're grieving or if you have questions, you can also call in to the show today at 1-800-930-2819. Again, that's 1-800-930-2819. So let's give a warm welcome to Russell Friedman on the show. Hi, Russell.
Hi. Hi, Kelly. And if I was anywhere near you, I would just offer a big hug just for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you. Know,
I think sometimes hugs speak much better and more honestly than any of the words we say, I swear.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard to know what to say. And I guess.
Absolutely. And here's another fact. The truth is there isn't actually a correct or right thing to say. The right thing to one person at one moment as a griever could be the wrong thing to another person at a moment. It changes, it shifts. So what we usually help people do, especially the people around grievers who never know what to say or often say incorrect things, we say, tell the truth about yourself. So what I would say to someone, if I find out their pet has died or a human person of theirs has died or they've been through a divorce, what I'm liable to say, oh, my gosh, I heard what happened. I can't imagine what this has been like for you. And by doing it that way, instead of saying, how does it make you feel? The question, which does the same thing, says, I can't imagine what it's been like for you, opens up the possibility that you can tell me the truth and I won't judge you. I will listen to you. I will honor what you say without criticism or judgment. And for grieving pet owners, it's maybe the biggest gift you can give them. In our book, The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss, you know, which is part of our topic today, the opening chapter is, here's the title of the opening chapter, Don't Feel Bad, It Was Only a dot, 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 which is where you put dog, cat, horse, where well-meaning, loving friends or family tell us don't feel bad because it was only a dog. At which point you, with your cat, would say, are you crazy? My cat was my heart. She was my soul. Whether it was a tragic ending or, you know, or an ending after a very long life, it's still heart-crushing. And so it gets minimized when someone says it was only a cat or only a dog. It minimizes you. It minimizes your feelings. It minimizes the animal. And now, on that same first page of the book, it asks a question. It's a pretty naughty question, Kelly. It says, if your mom died, would someone say, don't feel bad, it was only a mother? Or don't feel bad, it was only a woman? Can you imagine someone saying that? I mean, you would be almost homicidal if they said that to you. And yet they will say it blithely when our cat, dog, horse, parakeet dies, as if that entity had no meaning or value. And yet, as I don't have to tell you, probably the closest thing to unconditional love any of us experience, without dismissing our relationships with our children or parents or anything, is that kind of unconditional acceptance and love we get from our pet. You know, I get home, my dog's tail, I swear one day his tail's going to wag off. He's so excited to see me. And I keep saying to my wife, I say, honey, could you just wag one time when I come home? And she laughs because she ain't going to do it. But the idea of my pet loving me, and which reminds me, Kelly, of my favorite prayer. My favorite prayer is, Lord, please let me be half the man my dog thinks I am. But you and I, as pet owners and pet grievers, we know how deeply our hearts are affected. One of the reasons we wrote the book is to help all of us who have pets die. But another primary reason is to help the people around us have better things to know to say and not say, because while they try to help, they wind up hurting us more than they help us by saying things that don't work and don't make sense. So, you know, depending on where you lead here, I will follow.
Oh, Russell, I'm going to have to cut you off. We're going into the break right now. We got a late start, so I apologize for that. But as soon as we come back, we're going to talk so much more about this topic and really understanding pet loss and the myths of grieving over pet loss. So thank you so much, Russell. This is Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and we will see you right after the break.
Peace. Shalom. Salam.
Shanti.
Worldwide.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
1230 WBLQ.
Peace. Shalom. Salam.
Shanti.
Worldwide.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. My guest today is grief expert Russell Friedman, and we're talking about how to handle the holidays when we're missing our pets and our loved ones. Before we continue, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Luminaries. If you're wondering what music you're hearing as we're coming in and out of the break today, it is Jay Brave and the Luminaries. And they're doing a really great music project for Peace that you should definitely check out. We're hearing their song Peace featuring iStar and Mason throughout the show. And this is a really cool project. So I encourage everyone out there, if you're wanting to, you know, get behind something positive that combines music and energy and working together as a human community and society, look up When the People Lead on Indiegogo and hear about that work. Again, it's When the People Lead. So let's get back to today's show with Russell Friedman. And we are talking a little bit about kind of what it's like to lose a pet and have it be minimized by people and how many Americans really are grieving their pets.
Well, it's a huge number. In fact, every time we talk about it, it's like it's staggering. It's like there are 40 million new pet grievers every year in America. It's a staggering number. You think it's like almost unimaginable, and yet we believe that grieving pet owners are amongst the most isolated of all grievers because they keep being told, don't feel bad, you know, and when we're kids, we're here, don't feel bad, on Saturday we'll get you a new dog, replace the loss. And then really tragically incorrect things happen. I can't tell you, Kelly, how many people have contacted me, had their dog or cat die, had someone show up at their house, a friend or family member, the next day with a new dog or cat for them. Now, and I say this, imagine if your husband died and someone showed up at your house with a date for you the next day. I mean, it's like, huh? Are we not allowed to grieve and complete our relationship to this entity, this cat, dog, horse, whatever, that we love that's gone? Are we not allowed to have some feelings? But you know, when you're a teenager and you have your first romantic breakup, you're 13, 14, 15, this is what happened with me. My mom said, don't feel bad, there are plenty of fish in the sea, which was the first time I knew I had been dating a fish. But my mother, who loved me, was teaching me something totally incorrect. She didn't know how to teach me to grieve and complete my relationship to the girl that I had been with. She just said, go start dating again. You fall off a horse, get right it back up. That same as replace the lost stuff. And so I went on my next date holding back about 95% of my personal self, because I didn't want to be there yet, and B, I didn't want to get hurt again. So we sabotage our future relationships because we're incomplete with our past one. And yes, the same thing can happen with pets. In fact, one of the tragic things with pets is if you rush and get a new pet, you'll often get the same breed, which is fine, but you try to get the new dog or cat or whatever animal to be like the one who died. Well, they can't be. As you know, I don't have to tell you, Dr. Kelly, every pet has its own personality, okay? Just like every person. So when you expect one dog to be like the one who preceded him or her, you make a mistake. My dog, Baxter, is 11.5-year-old Hungarian Vizsla. He is the dog I got after my dog, Buddha, who's featured in the Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss, after he died. Same breed, but totally different personality. But I did the work of grief recovery to feel emotionally complete with my dog. Over a period of time, I did the work so that when I chose, and my wife and I chose to get a new dog, we could establish a new relationship with a new entity. And that's crucial for people to hear. So we don't just jump into a brand new relationship when our heart is broken with the ending of the old one. We must do something to allow ourselves to make the choice to have a new relationship, whether it's human or animal, and to be ready to accept the new person or new animal as who they are, not as a replacement for the one who died.
That is so important. And I can't tell you how many personal stories I've heard, as well as in the book discussed, about people who jump right into getting a new pet and then they're disappointed about it. And personal story for me. So our dog, Hydra, she was my boyfriend Jimmy's dog from when he was 18. And she just passed away this year at 14, so he's like 33, 32, 33 now. She passed away 4 or 5 months ago, and we are about to adopt 2 new Pipple puppies this weekend. They're Pipple Mastiff mix, and they're like the most gorgeous puppies in the world, and we're so excited. So it's really beautiful, but at the same time, like, there is that understanding that this is a totally new adventure. It will never replace the pets we've lost, and that's not what it's about. And so, like, do you have any advice for me and for my partner as we're adopting these new puppies?
Yeah, well, you know, I will give you a little bit, but frankly, I love listening to what you're saying because I have a feeling you're kind of ahead of the curve. Most people don't have what you have in their head or their heart. Their heart
well,
might be okay.
I've read the book,
their head
too,
might not.
So that helps.
That helps, yeah. Thank you, that's true. While it's, you want to have it, allow it to be its own entity and have its own personality and own foibles, you also have the privilege of talking to it about its predecessors. You know, you're such a great dog. By the way, the dogs we had, like, oh my God, they did this and that. You could just do your human talk. The dog won't understand the words, but it will understand the feeling. So you don't have to make a total disconnect from the past. You can humanize that for yourself, and the dog will hear the feeling. The feeling will be a loving feeling you're communicating. And without, you're not going to compare. The one thing we always have to do is, you know, avoid comparison, even with pets. Now, you know, if you get a new husband or a new boyfriend, you know, after a breakup, you know not to say, oh, by the way, you know, my ex was handsomer than you or prettier than you. That would be pretty dumb. So, but the animals follow the tone of voice and the intent. So if you loved, and you did, the dog who died or dogs who died, it's okay to include them verbally because you will know what you mean or feel. Just allow yourself to be open. And the other thing you have to be allow when you get the new pups, because of their very existence, because they are dogs, it will automatically be a stimulus for you, Dr. Kelly, to give you feeling, because it will remind you, they will remind you of the ones gone, just because they're dogs. And that may be emotional. And what I want you to do is allow the emotion. If you cry in front of the dog, if you cry in front of the dog, nobody cares. That will be an honest emotion being communicated. It's okay to be sad and sit with the new dog and say, you're so fabulous, and I miss the ones who died. It's okay to be honest. And that's, I think, the only guidance I want to give you is to just be honest, which I don't think will be a big problem to you. You won't hurt them by having feelings. You hurt them by hiding your feelings. Because then they get really confused.
Do you think the same applies to humans as well? When we're communicating with humans, that we just need to be able to allow our emotions and be honest, or only with some people can we do that? What do you think about that?
That's a great question, and because there's some arbitrary things in there, again, as I said, if with your new spouse, now my spouse and I, we're together 28 years, and I knew her husband who died many years ago. I'm trying to remember if she ever met my She met my second ex-wife, not my first ex-wife. You need a mathematical quotient here. And there are times when each of us can safely talk to the other about missing certain aspects of our exes. But it's not a general thing you would do. It can be too difficult to, you know, create a little comparison that's bad. We are fortunately very open in a good way, in an appropriate way, to be able to talk with each other like that. So, but I'd be cautious, you know. Given what I do, I tell people, if you're not sure, call me. I'm pretty good at helping people establish whether the thing they might say to their current partner might not be right or wrong. It's kind of like in 12-step programs, they say you make direct amends or apologies, except when to do so would injure them or others. We can use the same concept here. Some comments would not be well received, so you have to be a little cautious. But what you can do is say, you know, I'm just feeling a little off my game. I'm a little unsettled. You don't have to say that it relates to something about your ex and drag your current mate in to be your therapist, which isn't appropriate. You just say, I'm having one of those days, you know, the world's digging and I'm zagging. And just kind of communicate a basic truth without details, and that won't ever hurt anyone. Because if you lie, if you say I'm fine when you're not fine, the other person goes, huh, that doesn't feel right. So we want to be honest, and sometimes we don't want to be detailed in the honesty.
I think a lot of it is about giving yourself space to have the kind of like private experience that you need to have, while then also sharing with people in the right context. And, you know, it can be hard. When you're in that emotional situation, it can be kind of hard to gauge. It can be hard to regulate. It can be hard to balance your emotions.
That's true. So, but I agree with that. Your premise is absolutely right. And you're also right in saying sometimes it's hard to know which is appropriate or what's not, because when you're emotional, you're not. Look, when your heart is broken, your head doesn't work right. And when your heart is broken, your spirit doesn't soar. So if it's a heart thing and an emotionally affecting thing, you can't necessarily make proper decisions. That's why they tell new widows and widowers, don't make major life decisions in the first year, because people sell houses they shouldn't. They keep houses they should sell. They make decisions and choices that make no sense because their heart is dictating everything. And I want to tell you, grieving pet owners are just like people grieving other losses. They don't necessarily make good decisions because they're leading with their heart, which isn't always the right tool for more academic or intellectual jobs.
Very true. Wow. Well, Russell, you're giving us so much to think about. And when we come back from the break, we are going to talk a lot more about the myths of grieving and how to heal that broken heart and how to find that completion with the relationship that we've lost. So this is Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. Stay tuned and we will be right back.
Shalom, salam,
shanti,
worldwide. I say peace when I jump on a beat. I say peace when I'm walking the street.
When I walk in the street,
I say peace when the sun's in the east. I say peace when I need a release.
When I need a release.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com. Or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
The 24th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And join Mira Kelly for a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. Early bird weekend passes, Friday evening through the Monday banquet, are available at a special low price through December 7th. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be this February 11th through the 15th. Go to thewowconference.org. That's the WOW conference.org to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you. See you there.
Let the transition begin. Tune in to the hit show, Majestic Insights Radio, Success for Life's Transitions, with host Carrie Keith. Carrie is a gifted intuitive coach, healer, and teacher who will lead you through her empowering techniques of ancient wisdom and awareness so you can live your happiest, healthiest, and most vibrant life. Let Carrie teach you the tools of transformation that will help you experience success for all of life's transitions. To learn more about Carrie, visit www.majesticinsights.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Peace. Shalom. Salam.
Shanti.
Worldwide. I say peace when I jump on a beat. I say peace when I'm walking the street.
When I walk in the street,
I say peace when the sun's in the east.
I say peace
when I need a release.
When I need a release,
I say peace when I'm facing the beast.
I say peace
when I'm taking you deep.
When I'm taking you deep,
I say peace because I know I'm complete. I say peace.
Hello and welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Russell Friedman, and we are talking about grief and pet and human loss and how to handle the holidays when we're going through this. And I just want to quickly ask you, Russell, could you give us your contact info for our listeners so they can find more about your book, the Grief Recovery Handbook, talks, workshops, getting referred to a grief specialist? That'd be great.
Fabulous. Yeah, the prime location, www.griefrecoverymethod.com, griefrecoverymethod.com. You can find special grief recovery certified specialists who run our programs in your community just by putting in your zip code and find anyone near you. You can also buy our books there, or you can go to Amazon or any bookstore. The Grief Recovery Handbook, When Children Grieve, Moving On, which is about romantic endings, Moving Beyond Loss, and the new Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss, all available on our website and Amazon. And there's also on the website a huge amount of articles I've written over the years that can download. You can print them for free. They don't cost anything. And they're tremendously educational. Some of them have some humor in them. Some of them have some sadness in them. Some of them have both. But they will open your eyes, and you'll have a lot of, when you read the articles, you'll have a lot of aha moments. You'll go, oh my gosh, I never thought of that, oh my gosh. And it will make you think in a very helpful way and make you realize that all of us, look, grief is the normal and natural reaction to loss. But almost everything we learn about dealing with loss is not normal, not natural, not helpful. Thus the six myths that you have been alluding to that we talk about here on the radio and in all our books. If we don't get rid of the wrong ideas, we will keep using incorrect ideas when we need better ideas. And part of my life and life's work is to help people have better information and a safe environment to do something normal and natural.
I think that's amazing. And very briefly, could you share how you got into this line of work, which can be sad and heavy and intense, and yet you have such a lightness and positivity about you, being able to help so many people?
Yeah, thank you for the question and the way you structured it, because I get the question all the time. Isn't it heavy working with grievers every day of your life for 28 years? And the answer is no. It is uplifting. Radio, the numbers go up when I do. I've been on CNN many times. I was on CNN after 9/11. I was on CNN after the lady drowned all her children in Texas, Yates. And I do a lot of it. And yet every day I go home feeling good, because here's what happens, Kelly. Someone calls me. I can hardly hear them. I say, Grief Recovery Institute. They say, what do you people do there? In a very low voice. And I say, we help people deal with death and divorce and other losses. Have you experienced a significant emotional loss recently or some time ago? And they'll go, yes. And then I ask them a little about it, you know, because you can only do a little bit on the phone. You can't open someone up like a can of, you know, tuna on the phone. It's dangerous. And then, but what happens within 5 or 10 minutes of having a conversation that I'm kind of guiding, creating safety, giving better information, all of a sudden their voices come up. The energy, you hear it come up to me now? The energy comes up. And I'll say, do you notice how you feel? And they'll start laughing. And we'll have a really, and they'll say it's the first time they've laughed since someone died or since they got a divorce. Just because one of my skills is to hear them and give them better information. So I wind up the big winner every day of my life, in spite of grief being the central topic. I get to feel good every day because I know I go home almost without exception. Everyone who ever calls here or contacts us, they feel better after the contact. So I go to bed at night tired but feeling good. My wife says I fall asleep immediately. I wake up rested 5 or 6 hours later because there's a part of me that's accessing this ability to help people who are asking for help. We don't intervene. We don't help people who don't ask, because that's not appropriate. But so that's the byproduct. I got here 28 years ago on the heels of my second divorce and a bankruptcy for $500,000. Half a million might not sound like a lot of money, but it certainly was then. It still is. I don't mean to be cavalier. But the two things in concert, the second divorce and the bankruptcy, literally, Dr. Kelly, brought me to my knees. I was crushed. I had no tools, no ability, no knowledge, and no skills. I didn't have 12-step program, didn't have therapy, didn't have grief recovery. I didn't know what to do. So arriving at the Grief Recovery Institute by accident, not design, a whole new universe opened up to me. I learned that grief is not limited to death, nor divorce, nor bankruptcy. There are 43 different life events that can produce feelings of grief. And certainly, wow, pet loss is one of the major ones. So I arrived by accident in a place that has become something so meaningful to me, is I can't imagine what I would do if I couldn't do this anymore. And it is heartwarming and uplifting. It is never a downer, because everyone I talk to feels better. And they're given direction to get even more help than just a conversation with me.
Absolutely. I love the story. And, you know, it's just kind of evidence of how strange our universe is sometimes, that bad things that happen to us can become like these amazing turning points and amazing opportunities. And, you know, it's
yeah, nice, you know, there's another little byproduct. And I started here as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. 28 years ago, I showed up here as a volunteer after having seen John W. James, who's now my partner. I saw him at a lecture, and when he tells the story, he said, yeah, Russell showed up one day 28 years ago, and I can't get rid of him. Now we're partners, we're friends, we write all these books together. But the truth is,
that's great. It was, well, you so found lucky. Your calling, and you stuck with it. And yeah, there's some yeah. really
well,
great
Well, also, my wife started her career as a volunteer. So we're an incredible couple who later in life found new careers, became kind of the top of our profession, but we started as volunteers. So I'm a big fan of people starting as volunteers in places and learning to see if they love something, and then it can become really huge. So that, I'm a big fan of that.
That's great. We have, let's see, 5 minutes before we go into the next break. I would love it if you could share with our listeners the grief myths that we've been talking about. I know that.
All right, what do I have, 5 minutes?
Yeah, before we go into the break, and then we have one more
okay,
section.
Okay, let me do it. I'll do the speed version of the six myths. Less than a minute. Okay. Okay, the first myth that we highlight of the six we highlight in all our books and talks is the myth, don't feel bad, which we learn when we're little kids. You come home from preschool, a little girl, comes home from preschool with tears in her eyes. Mommy or daddy says, what happened? Which is a great question. The little kid, trusting her parents, says, the other little girls were mean to me. At which point, the parent makes a colossal error and says, quote, don't feel bad, honey. Here, have a cookie. You'll feel better. Now, question, Kelly, does the cookie make the child feel better or does it make the child feel different? Pick one.
Yeah, it's not better.
Different. It's different. It doesn't fix anything. And has anything been addressed about the hurt feelings with the other kids? No. So we teach our children to medicate their feelings with substances, in that case, sugar, cookies, ice cream, whatever. 10 years later, that little girl's on the playground, has had her first romantic breakup. Her little boyfriend threw her over. She's moping across the playground, and someone goes, psst, psst, hey, little girl, here, try this, you'll feel better. And they give her a joint or a beer. Where did she learn how to use substances to modify or medicate her feelings? From her own parents. Now, I'm not here to attack parents, but don't feel bad makes no sense. Imagine if you called me up one day, Kelly, and said, hey, Russell, it's your pal, Kelly. I said, how you doing, kiddo? You say, great. Things are great at home. Things are great at work. I really feel good. Would I go, don't feel good? I mean, doesn't that sound stupid? And yet, if you call someone and tell them your favorite aunt dies, they'll say, don't feel bad. She's in a better place. Maybe she is in a better place, but you're not. You're grieving. So the first myth is the myth of don't feel bad. The second myth is replace the loss. When John James, a little boy, and his dog Peggy died, his parents said, don't feel bad. On Saturday, we'll get you a new dog. And the next Saturday, they did. But John was seven, and he didn't want a new dog, and you know exactly what he wanted, Kelly. He wanted Peggy back. And even though he was seven and at some rudimentary level he understood death and Peggy couldn't come back, he still didn't want a new dog, in part because he had a kind of a natural sense of not wanting to get hurt again. He wasn't certainly ready to volunteer to have someone else die or another dog die. So replace the loss, and the same thing then follows through with his wives, girlfriends, boyfriends. Grieve alone. Watch this. Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. We're all taught to isolate our grief in this society. We're also taught don't burden others with your feelings. Now, by that token, your sad feelings burden me, but so could your happy feelings. What if I'm not in the mood for your chippy, happy self today, you know? So this is another myth, the myth of grieving alone. The truth is, if you have something wonderful happen to you, Kelly, I guarantee the first thing you want to do is pick up the phone and call someone you love and say, guess what? And if something sad happens, guess what you want to do? Call them up and say, guess what? It's just going to be a different sound and different content, but it's still going to be a feeling. The other big myth, the biggest one of all time, is the pernicious myth that time heals all wounds.
Oh, and
what,
wow.
I want everybody to hear. We have to take a break?
Almost, but yes, this one is literally the main thing that everyone has said always. Time will heal it.
Yeah.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to touch on a lot more about, does time really heal? Is that even the right thing to say or think? Probably not. So stick with us when we come back. Dr. Kelly and Russell Friedman talking about grieving and handling pet loss and human loss at the holidays. So stay with us and we'll see you in a bit.
For 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, worry and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your sole purpose advocate.
Living Kabbalah. Experience the fruits of the Tree of Life. In this 10-month ascension program, Kabbalah unlocks the potential of your own divine nature to know and accomplish your unique purpose in life. Get ready for real and lasting change.
Enroll now for this 10-month ascension program starting January 30th through 31st. Visit 10thhouse.org. That's 10thhouse.org today to learn more.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Introducing The Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit The Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. Russell Friedman and I are here talking about the myths of grief. And when we left off, we were talking about the most pervasive and pernicious, we can say, myth, that time heals all wounds. Russell,
prove how false that is, let me ask you, Kelly, Dr. Kelly, and your audience, if you're not driving a car, I want you to do a little experiment. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine that you leave wherever you are, say your house or some store, and you walk out to the parking lot, and you look at your car, and it doesn't look right, and you realize it has a flat tire. It's kind of leaning one way, and because you get that little kind of catch in your throat or your chest, and you go, now, here's the question. As you think of this car, your car with a flat tire, would you pull up a chair and sit down and wait for air to jump back in your tire? I didn't think so. And everybody listening, open your eyes now. You know, because what you know is that you would have to, because if we came back 100 years later, there would be your skeleton in that chair with your clothes on, and the tire would still be flat. Now, you know that in order to do something, you have to do one of two things. You must take action. You either call the auto club and ask them to come fix the tire, or you dig around in the trunk and try to find that little spare tire, looks like a donut these days, and find the jack. But you have to take an action to change the tire to get on the road. Now, the parallel is this. An emotionally broken heart is remarkably like a flat tire, isn't it? The get up and go is got up and went. The ability to participate fully in life is limited. And without action, that doesn't change. In fact, over time, grief gets worse, not better. I have personally talked to almost 100 100,000 grieving people. And a huge percentage of that 100,000 people over the last 28 years were elderly widows or widowers who called in here a year or two after their spouse died. And after I talked to them a little bit and got their confidence, I would say to them, Dr. Kelly, I guess you realize by now they lied to us that time hasn't fixed your broken heart, has it? And I'm going to tell you here that 98% of them, without any more provocation than that sentence, said, yeah, and it seems like it's getting worse. Let's think about it. Why would they call a stranger, me, on an 800 number a year or two after their spouse died? They wouldn't be calling to tell me everything's all peachy keen, fine and dandy. They call because it's getting worse. And it gets worse because it can't get better without action. And everything we do in grief recovery, whether it's with pet loss or human loss or divorce or any other loss, it's actions taken, correct actions taken within time to achieve the result of getting emotionally complete with everything that we wish had happened differently, better, or more, and with all the unrealized hopes, dreams, and expectations we had for the future. Time can't do that. Actions can. Now, there are two more myths, just quickly.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to ask you about those actions. I feel like I just
want to know. The other big myth that we all were taught, you have to be strong or you have to be strong for others. And being strong really means hide your feelings. Don't tell the truth. We think that's a horrible thing. Remember, I was telling you earlier in the show what I'd suggest you do with your new dogs and not hide your feelings at all. And so we're told to be strong. Now, here's the choice we give people. You're going to love this. You can be strong or you can be human. Pick one.
Alien?
You got to go for human. Okay. And the other big myth, and everybody, I doubt there's anyone listening to us who didn't get this at some point when they'd been affected by a grief event. Oh, you got to keep busy. You got to keep busy. And all you do is distract yourself. That's kind of an illusion based on time healing. If I just stay busy, then another day goes by and I'll feel better. When the reality is another day goes by, you sometimes push away or bury the pain, but you don't complete it. Okay, so those six myths have to be debunked. We have got to get them out of our heart, mind, soul, so we can get to work on the real actions that lead to emotional completion or recovery of, like I said, of all the things we wish had been different, better, or more, and all the unrealized hopes, dreams, and expectations about the future. I only ever need those six words to help guide people to recovery. Different, better, more, hopes, dreams, expectations.
So let's talk about what are these actions that can help us complete the pain that's caused by emotional loss.
Okay, and just to add on so I don't forget it then, after we get emotionally complete with anyone, animal or human, who's affected our life, it doesn't mean we stop having feelings. It doesn't mean we never have a sadness and miss them. Look, my mommy died the day before Thanksgiving in 1993. That's 22 years ago. And guess what? Holiday was just last week, Thanksgiving. If you think I didn't have some moments, you know, we're just kind of somewhat introspective, sometimes talking with my family about missing my mommy, having a sadness, and also having some humor, remembering ways that my mother could be that were funny. So the result of completion, we'll talk about what it is, the result allows you to talk openly about your feelings rather than trap them, rather than be afraid of them, rather than thinking there's something wrong with you because you have them. Now, quickly, the actions of recovery, whether it's with a pet or a human, is first to look at the losses we've had. We call it a loss history graph, and see what we learned, young, medium, and older in age, what we learned incorrectly usually about dealing with loss. Then we pick one of the major losses that affected our life, and we graph that relationship, all the highs and lows, sweets and sours, and all the different, better, more. For example, there are sometimes some things I wish I'd said or done differently with my ex-wife. Sometimes some things I wish either one of my ex-wives had said or done differently. And in finding all the things, I then have to apologize indirectly to them for the things I did that may have hurt them. I need to forgive them, which is a huge topic that we specialize in, for the things they may have done or not done that hurt me, in my opinion. And then I have to tell them indirectly again all the significant emotional things, really important stuff. I loved you. I hated you. I hated when you did this. I love when you did that. The categories we work in are apologies, forgiveness, significant emotional statements, which conveniently covers everything important you might want to say. And then we put it in a document that we call a grief recovery completion letter, rather than just a newsletter. It's not like a diary entry. It's a communication to complete what's unfinished, so I don't keep like a hamster on a wheel just looping. You've heard people who are in pain over and over and over, and they just carry the pain around, and 5, 10, 20 years they're telling the same painful story. That's not recovery. So we do the actions we help people take, help them complete what's unfinished so they can jump off the hamster wheel and restart their life. And again, I want to repeat this. It doesn't mean they stop feeling. It means they can feel honestly and accurately, but not collapse. It doesn't paralyze them or trap them anymore in their grief.
That's so wonderful. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But Russell, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this really healing and inspiring information. And I can't wait to hear more from you and to check out some of the other books from the Grief Recovery Center. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I had a wonderful time, and I hope that everyone will continue to join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on KKNW 1150 Seattle and WBLQ 1230 AM, broadcasting from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. You can find me at thelucidplanet.com and also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And next week on Lucid Planet Radio, we are welcoming Paul Aramento, the Deputy Director of NORML, which is the National Organization for Marijuana Legalization. We will be discussing the current state of marijuana legalization, new research coming out, and where all this is headed. So stay tuned for that. Have a wonderful day, and have a wonderful holiday season. Lots of love to you. Bye now.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.